Are you ready, Alabama?
Hello? What, who's there? What's going on?
It's time to enter the doghouse.
Whatever's happening here, just knock it off.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
These kids are weird, man. They're weird.
Live from the Big Dog Production Studios.
I don't.
It's time for the highly sought after, fabulous final hour of the Tom Abraham Show.
That might be listed in Revelations as the cause for the apocalypse.
Here he is, the head of the household, the Big Dog.
You're the smartest guy I ever met.
Tom Abraham.
You want me to do this crap?
I guess I'm on here. Am I on? Can somebody respond?
And welcome back for the highly sought after fabulous final hour of the Tom Abraham Show. Did they do the daylight savings time already? I think the sun is still out. I mean, forget Dog After Dark. I mean, on this beautiful, gorgeous, absolutely pristine early March day. Cobalt blue sky, 60s, low 60 degrees, and the sun is still out. Man, we thought we'd get through this week with a little bit of Dog After Dark music right at the end of the show. I don't even know if we can run it at the end of the show. Well, I mean, we'll try, but we'll see. In the meantime, we are waiting Brian Matthews from AuburnSports.com give us a spring ball report there, where Malik Willis has been very impressive running the first team. Because remember, Jared Stidham is not going to practice until after the team gets back from spring break, which I think is like March 19th or so. And so they're giving Stidham that time to rest as he recuperates from the shoulder surgery on his non-throwing shoulder. And so in the meantime, Malik Willis, Joey Gatewood's there. The true freshman who's supposed to be like going to the prom or something right now, but it was the same thing Jalen Hurts did. And Jalen Hurts kind of opened a lot of eyes and kind of let everybody know that that was going to be his gig. Well, Auburn's got an established quarterback, of course, in Jared Stidham, but Malik Willis has looked very good by all accounts. He's looked very good running the team. And you wonder whether or not there'll be some way of working him in, you know, when the time comes. I don't know. So we'll get to a couple of other notes, including, do you think we got time to get it in? I mean, what do you think, T-Mac? I mean, you think we could drop? You think we can drop it?
I think it's all you, big dog. I think you got it.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's the Tuesday Top 10.
Today's Tuesday Top 10. Happy birthday to Shaquille O'Neal, 47 years old today. Is that right, T-Mac? Did I hear that in the Manoosh?
Well, it was your Manoosh, so.
Okay.
He's 47. 46, today, right?
46 today?
Yeah, he was born in 72. 46?
Well, I'm not. Was it 72? That's 46. Is it 46? I thought it was 47. Oh, that may be the case. All right. I've got the 17 most popular nicknames for Shaq, not including Shaq, because his name, of course, is Shaquille. All right, T-Mac, go ahead and give me one. What do you got?
Obviously, the Big Diesel. Okay, I had to write them down because I have five off the top of my head, and there's only ones
the
I
Diesel
know.
For sure. Okay, wait a minute. Let me cross that one off. Diesel. All right, what else you got?
Do you have the Big Shaqtus on there?
The Big Shaqtus is
yes.
On there.
Okay. Now, a couple of these are from his short-lived time in Boston. The Big Shamrock.
The Big Shamrock
yes.
Is in there.
He was also the Big Leprechaun.
He was, the 15 minutes he played for the Celtics, he had two nicknames. The Big Leprechaun and the Big Shamrock.
And my personal favorite, the last one I can think of, is the Big Aristotle.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that one had a lot of legs to it. The Big Aristotle had a lot of legs to it. There was no doubt about that one. Okay, some of the other ones he had. I'm surprised that you didn't come with, how about Superman?
Yeah, that's right.
Went by Superman. He Shaq Fu, right? Remember he did the movie, Shaq Fu, right? No, you don't remember Shaq Fu?
No, I remember Shazam where he was a genie.
Well, there, but... no, he learned. He was talking about his ability in karate or something like that. It was Shaq Fu. Yeah,
was Shaq Fu. Man,
yeah. The Big Daddy. He was also when he first had his kids. His son's now committed to UCLA after he decommitted from Arizona. But when he had the baby, you know, he became the Big Daddy. Now here's you said the Big Shaqtus.
Yeah,
that was from his time with Phoenix. He was also known as the Big Cactus.
Of course he was.
And the Big Agave. Remember that? Agave? You know what an agave is?
No. Well, yeah.
It's a desert plant type of looking thing.
Agave. Let me look that up.
The Big Agave, man. He called himself the Big Agave. that's a big plant. All right. How about this one? The Big Galactus.
Nope, don't remember that one.
Don't remember the Big Galactus. How about Shackalicious? Do you remember Shackalicious?
I don't think, for my money, in my opinion, I don't think there was anybody more fun to put behind a mic in basketball than Shaquille O'Neal.
He was fantastic. Are you kidding me? There's no doubt about it. Right, let me check off Shackalicious. All right, I got that one off. Okay. At one point in time, he called himself Wilt Chamberneasy.
Wilt? He was Chamberneasy?
Chamberneasy. He was when he went to L.A., he was the Wilt Chamberneasy.
I've never heard that one.
Yeah, playing off of Wilt Chamberlain. He was Wilt Chamberneasy. Yeah, I heard that one.
What a nut.
Remember, was he on Dancing with the Stars or some kind of dancing thing?
He's well known to dance. Like, I know Shaq has a very good dancer, but I don't know that I've seen him on any dancing show.
Yeah, for a while he glossed himself the Big Baryshnikov. Of course, the real deal. You remember the real deal, right?
I remember the name, the real deal. Now that you mention it, I wish that was one. I guess I feel like that should have been one I should have had.
Shaqovic.
Shaqovic.
Let's see. How about the Big Conductor? He called himself the Big Conductor when he did the Philharmonic, and he was the Big Conductor. And then finally, remember what he said when he retired, right? He said, all of the other nicknames go away now. And you remember what he said his nickname was now going forward?
No.
The Big AARP. Oh, my goodness! Yes!
The Big AARP. Now that's
Big AARP.
That's on a short list for one of my favorites right there. That's grand.
Mike Farrell. It's pretty well respected from Rivals.com. That Mike Farrell. He had some thoughts about the combine coming out of the combine. And he said, one of them was, quote, hey, Cleveland, Barkley is the easy choice at number one. And he went on to say, okay, Cleveland Browns, don't screw this up. The choice is easy for you. Take Penn State running back Shaquan Barkley at number one overall and then find your quarterback at four. Barkley, who killed the combine, is better than Fournette, Christian McCaffrey, Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, Melvin Gordon, and any other running back taken in the first round since Adrian Peterson. Barring injury, he's a can't miss, while the quarterbacks appear to be a crapshoot of sorts. Now, while I'll semi-agree with him about the quarterbacks being a crapshoot a little bit, you know, I don't know about taking a running back number one overall. Yeah, I ran some of this down. Let me tell you something. In 1995, Kijana Carter coming out of the same Penn State Nittany Lion team looked like the most unbelievable running back ever. He was the last time a running back went number one overall. 1995, T-Mac, 23 years ago. He had 1,144 yards in his NFL career. Tore his knee up. Do you know how many running backs have been picked number one overall since the merger in 1970? Would you like to venture a guess? How many years ago was 1970? 48 years ago?
48 years ago, yes.
Do you know how many running backs were the number one pick overall?
Well, I know Kajana Carter.
Kajana Carter.
Wasn't Bo Jackson one? Yeah, okay.
Bo Jackson, 1986 by the Buccaneers. You know, Bo Jackson, as great as he was, with the Raiders playing 8 games a season, he ended up with a total of 2,782 yards before he had his hip basically dislocated in a game against, ironically, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, am I still going now?
Yes.
I know there are a couple more. I don't know. I don't know that I'm going to be able to name them on the next guest. So I'm going to say
1981
total.
Heisman Trophy winner out of South Carolina. 1981 Heisman Trophy winner out of South Carolina.
Out of South Carolina?
Yeah. George Rogers.
Okay.
By the Saints, he had 7,176 yards. Not a bad career. How about 1980, back-to-back years, 1980 and 1981. 1980, running back, Oklahoma.
And 1980, was it Billy Sims?
Like 30 years old when he was drafted.
Yeah, my goodness, that was.
Yeah, Billy Sims, now he was old. He was like 26 or something. I
knew he was a high draft pick. I didn't know he was number one.
Overall number one.
Wow.
Yeah, he had 5,106 yards in his career. The first one taken since the merger was Ricky Bell in 1977 out of USC, also a Heisman Trophy winner. And in 1978, the only Hall of Famer running back taken in the first round or taken number one overall in the college draft, Earl Campbell, the Tyler Rose out of Texas. To the Houston Oilers, he ended up with 9,407 yards and ended up in the Hall of Fame. So in 77, 78, 80, and 81, 4 out of 5 years, the number one pick was a running back. And they were okay. That was back in the day when you run the ball a lot. Who was the number one pick in 1979? The only guy that wasn't.
Who was the first pick in 1979? Yeah, you got me there.
NFL. I'm in my head saying like a quarterback out of I'm thinking in my head that, and I'm looking it up right now. I'm saying a quarterback. Oh no. That's right.
Uh-oh.
The number one pick in the 1979 draft was Tom Cousineau, the middle linebacker out of Ohio State.
Ooh.
And he didn't go to Buffalo. He went to Montreal to play for the Montreal Alouettes and then came back and played for the Browns. Tom Cousineau. And then I think that Tom Cousineau is gay. Now, I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Man.
No, I'm just saying. I think that he made in his total career in the NFL, I don't have his tackle list here. He had 6.5 sacks in his whole career as a middle linebacker and 10 interceptions. But he turned out to not be very good, Tom Cousineau.
It's crazy that possibly the next first overall pick, the next running back to be picked first overall, back-to-back, are going to be Penn State running backs. Because wasn't Kajon Carter Penn State?
I don't think you can take him number one. I don't think you can take him number one.
You got the Browns at 1-4, right? And two is New York, the Giants, right?
Yeah.
Who's three?
The Colts.
The Colts are at three. Now, I don't. That would scare me.
The Colts.
I'd be scared that the Colts would take him. But all the other teams seem so quarterback hungry that would be, to me, if you want to get the quarterback you want in Saquon, I would think you would have to go quarterback one, Saquon at four, but the Colts might take him, you know, depending on what the Andrew Luck situation is going to be.
Which is fine if that ends up being that way. I don't think running backs, running backs just don't lead you to anything. Running backs are great to have, but they don't lead you. You better get a quarterback. Running backs do not lead you to championships. the last running back that led a team to a NFL championship will be the next one. It just doesn't happen. Give me the running back that led the team to a championship. Jim Brown in 1963. Now where? Who? What? Running backs don't leave. Maybe, no. I'd say Walter Payton in 85, but that was an unbelievable defensive team. So I'm not even going to go there. Agave is the plant they make tequila from. That's what Volman said. Does it grow in a desert? Kazam was the movie with Shaq Fu.
Kazam, that's right. I said Shazam. It's Kazam, that's right.
Kazam. The listeners are chipping in big time on the text window.
Well, it's Shaq, man. It's the big Aristotle. Everybody loves Shaq.
The big Aristotle was maybe the best one.
That's my favorite nickname for Shaq, hands down.
That was a good one. Have you ever been to a big-time boxing match like Tyson, Lewis, Holyfield? Lewis? Joe Lewis? Are you kidding me, Keith? Joe Lewis? How old do you think I am? I have been to fights, but I have never seen a heavyweight championship fight. I'm trying to think of the biggest fight I've ever been. I've never really been to a big fight, no. No. We may have missed our opportunity to see Deontay Wilder fighting in Birmingham. I'd love to see that again. I mean, we should have went down there when he was fighting in Birmingham. I don't know if he's going to do that much anymore. How cool would it be to see Deontay Wilder fight at Bryant-Denny Stadium? Set up one of them rings, you know, with the cover on it and everything, and have him fight at Bryant-Denny Stadium in his hometown.
It'd sell out, you think?
Oh, it may. It may. Terrell Davis, no. I'm not going there with you, Vol, man. Terrell Davis was outstanding. But you had John Elway as the quarterback, man.
Yeah, I almost said Terrell Davis too, but John Elway being there.
Mm. Terrell Davis is the only 2,000-yard rusher. He's the only rusher. He's the only running back to lead the NFL in yards and win the Super Bowl in the same year. But I can't go with Terrell Davis led that team to the Super Bowl. That team was led by John Elway. I mean, they had a great running back, but John Elway was still their quarterback. I'm going Elway there.
I want to say it was Terrell Davis that in that Super Bowl, he had come to the sideline and said that he had
a headache.
Yeah, he had a migraine and he couldn't see. And the coach's response is so awesome. He said, oh, that's okay because we're going to fake it to you. He sent him back out there and he couldn't see. And it worked out. But that's a great response. Well, that's good because we're going to fake it to you. So,
Smokey Mike said Auburn was picked 9th and UT 13th. Okay. I was bouncing all over that thing. You got my point. You understand my point. How dare you? And that was before Auburn lost their top two players in Wiley and Purifoy. And before their assistant coach got arrested. How dare you, number two, how dare you disgrace the minister of defense like that? Randy White, really?
Reggie White.
What did I call him?
You must have called him Randy.
Oh, I was channeling Randy White, who was a Hall of Famer as well from the Cowboys. Did I say Randy White or Reggie White? I said Randy White. Is that what I said?
I think so. Sometimes you talk a little fast, so I don't catch all the names.
Well, sometimes it's too many practices without a mouthpiece in.
It's the Italian in you. Look, it's the Italian in you.
Randy
White.
I told you, I never let the facts get in the way of a good story. I mean, how many names do I botch? I botch names all the time. Keep the general on the Jumbotron, number three. Number four, I'm down with a Fulmer statue. He won a natty. You know who this was? Oh, I said it was Smokey Mike. Is it Smokey Mike? Yeah, it is Smokey Mike. So you get a natty? I mean, that's what they do at Alabama. You win a natty, you get a trophy. I mean, you get a statue, right? Frank Thomas and...
Oh, God, don't look. Don't say this stuff because now Scott Frost is going to get a statue at UCF because we done said if you get an Natty, you get a statue.
Oh, they already got the bonuses. Anyway.
They already got the banners, the parade. They got the license plates. Now they're going to get a statue.
Did you see what the players said at the players that were at the combine about that?
The
about
Auburn
UCF's
players?
National championship? Alabama and Auburn. Actually, the Auburn players started it.
Yeah, I heard what the Auburn players said.
Who played Georgia in the national championship game? There's one team. Kerryon Johnson said. They have the trophy. They went through the playoffs. They played Georgia. They won. It's as simple as that. Shoot, any undefeated team could pop up and say, we're national champions. I mean, they didn't play for it. That's the bottom line. Kerryon Johnson. Jeff Holland, outstanding defensive end out of Auburn. He said Jonah Williams was among the toughest matchups he's ever faced. He credited UCF with keeping him off balance and credited their offense in the Peach Bowl. The edge rusher didn't think there was much of a debate, though, about the national championship. Pff, that's what he said. He said, pff, that's spelled P-F-F-T. Pff. I mean, I wouldn't know. I played both teams, but I think I'll stay with the SEC team. You know,
dug deep in his vocabulary for that one.
Yeah, he went to the pff. Steven Roberts said UCF was a great team and praised them for beating Auburn. But both he and Carlton Davis, who didn't play in the Peach Bowl due to what he said was a sinus infection, said Alabama's the champion. They got the ring. At the end, they got the trophy. Let's see. Alabama running back Bo Scarborough said the Crimson Tide would have defeated the Knights if the teams had met. Quote, I'm proud of them. They had a perfect season, and they were the only team to go undefeated, so I will let them celebrate. Congrats to them on a perfect season that no one had this year. I think they should have gotten an opportunity in the playoff because they didn't lose a game. But it is what it is, you know. They had no control over it. I'm very confident in our team. Alabama would have won. And Shaquem Griffin, who had 12 tackles and a sack and a half in the Peach Bowl, said, I mean, it's so easy to just say our record. It flows so easy, 13-0. When you put 12-1 or something like that, it makes more out of you. When I have to put a different number, like 1 or 2, I get tired. I say 13-0. It just flows. I'm like, man, I'm good to go. I can say that all day. Minka Fitzpatrick said, I got the rings and the trophy, so whatever. Look, 13-0, big deal. 13-0.
Yeah, I mean, hey, if that's...
You go 13-0, you can go 13-0 in, you know, in the popcorn conference, too. And does that make you a national champion?
Well, if that's the way we're going to do this, I mean, let's go ahead and give one to the 08 Utah Utes. Let's just go back and give that to them. You know, they went undefeated. They beat Bama in the Sugar Bowl. You get a national championship, too, Utah. There you go. 08, national champs right next to Florida and Tim Tebow. Boom. There it is. If that's the way we want to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
It's silly. It sounds so stupid. Silly.
It's dumb. Keith says, I didn't know when Joe Lewis was in his prime. Yeah, in the 30s and 40s. Jeez, Keith. Keith's backpedaling now.
That was a... I believe Keith when he says he didn't know, but that was still a pretty solid burn. That was a good one.
Regarding fighting Smitty, Trill says, I'll get in a ring with his ass. I believe that. I mean, Trill's crazy, man. McTrill. He's nuts. I could see him do that. All right, one more thing. How much time do I got, T Mac? I know you do the math on my rewind dish.
Yeah, about a minute.
I got a minute? I gotta get this off my chest.
Go ahead.
Back in January, my son had a back spasm. Thomas, my 20-year-old son. He's very tight, he's too muscular. And he was working at the radio station, at my other son's radio station. And he was actually running an Alabama basketball game. And he had a back spasm. No, it was the Clemson game. Maybe it was the Clemson game. Anyway, no, it wasn't the Clemson game.
It was the National Championship.
It was on January 9th. It was the National Championship game. The night of the National Championship game. It was January 9th, right? Yeah. So the night of the National Championship game, my son had a back spasm. And he was, like, crippled. I mean, literally crippled. And my oldest son called me and said, hey, Tommy's on the floor in the bathroom and he can't get up here at the radio station. His back is tightened up on him and he's in trouble. I said, run him over to the hospital right away. Do you remember this when it happened? Did I talk about it?
Oh, absolutely. I remember this.
Okay. So he goes over to the hospital. We're there for 4 hours. They took him away once. They did some kind of test. They give him muscle relaxers. They put him on an IV, gave him muscle relaxers. It was the middle of the night. We were there from 11 o'clock until 3 in the morning. And the doctor came in and saw him twice. And there wasn't a soul in the hospital. in Tullahoma. There was nobody else in emergency room. There was nobody in the ER. It was like the only patient in the ER. There was maybe like one other person. Okay? So today I got the, yesterday I got the bill, T-Mac.
$10,888. Oh, my God.
4 hours in the emergency room. Insurance payment paid to date, $3,500. I can't believe it, the insurance company actually paid $3,500. 4 hours. Adjustment to date, minus $4,300 and $43. So apparently they, you know, they decided to, you know, make some sort of an adjustment off of the $10,888. And they want now $2,967 from me after they got $3,500 from the insurance company. He was at the emergency room for 4 hours. They're charging me $2,500 an hour for my son to occupy a bed in the emergency room where there was nobody else. And the doctor came in twice and said, how does this feel? I think you got a back spasm. We're going to loosen you up with some muscle relaxers. And they went and took a picture of his kidneys to see, make sure he didn't have a kidney stone. $10,888. But hey, you only owe $3,000 now. Thanks to your insurance company and our adjustment.
If they're going to charge it like that for him to lay in a bed for 4 hours, then we need to get with Trump and like hook up some Trump Tower beds or some Hilton stuff going on.
Are you kidding me? If they're charging me $10,888, when I pick my son up, I want to get about a 2004 pickup truck with him.
Right, or give him a brand new back. You get a new back.
Just no, I need something. I need something more than that. Kidding me? $10,888? I should be able to pick him up and get a used bass boat for that.
How did you not go to the hospital after that? I'd have passed out. I would have fainted.
Oh, and I called them. I called them today, and they won't talk to me because it's in his name. He's 20, but he's on my insurance. So I got to wait for him to get home from work so that I can call them again so that he can tell them it's okay for me to tell them to go to hell. Because that's what I got to tell them. I mean, what are we doing here, people? What in God's name are we doing here? $10,888 for a 4 hour stay in an emergency room with a back spasm. Wow. That's good to bring. Keith said, "I'm such a dumbass. I thought he was in the 70s." Yeah, he was in his 70s, maybe in the 50s. Joe Lewis. Good God. We'll be back and rewind it next here on 730, 1039 AM.
Sports Radio 730 and 1039, The UMP, WUMP.
Hi, Tom Baudet with a word for hipsters. It's getting harder to find that perfect thing nobody's ever heard of. I mean, artisanal persimmon marmalades don't grow on trees, or do they? Anyway, when you wind up so far outside the mainstream you need to rest for the night, point your vintage scooter at Motel 6, suppliers of locally sourced rooms for great low rates since way before it was cool. And if you think that sounds good, you should hear it on vinyl. I'm Tom Baudet from Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on for you.
Here's what you'll hear tonight on The UMP.
It's the West Coast Conference Men's Basketball Championship. Coverage starts at 7:45 p.m. all right here on The UMP.
Have you ever worked at a place where they didn't want you talking about your salary? Actually, have you ever worked anywhere where they did? Unlikely. But don't you have a right to know? If only there were a simple solution. Well, now there is.
How we find jobs has changed. On Indeed.com, our company reviews give you the inside track on thousands of companies. You can research salaries, benefits, company cultures, and more. All on Indeed.com. Search for greatness. Search Indeed, the world's number one job site. Indeed is the world's number one job site, according to Comscore total visits.
Okay, Sarah, I'm dropping you at Emily's, and Josh, you're going to soccer, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, and by the way, when I pick you up, I'll be wearing my short shorts.
What?
No!
Yep, me and my short shorts doing my daddy dance. Your friends will love it.
No!
Well, I might change my mind if you buckle your seatbelts.
Okay, okay, we're buckling up.
See, all buckled.
Whatever it takes, keep them safe. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
weather is sponsored by CC's. Now at CC's, New York-style pizzas and new cheesecake brownies. On the buffet for just five and some chains for a limited time. Only at CC's. Prices may vary. Restrictions apply.
The weather turning noticeably colder tonight, mostly fair with a low at 33. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, breezy, and cold, the high only at 50. Then for Thursday, sunny. We start the day below freezing, the low around 30. The high Thursday, only in the upper 40s at 49. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The Ump.
Call 866-485-9867 to get your bark on. Here he is, the head of the household, the big dog. Tom Abraham.
I had to look it up just in case for Keith. Joe Louis was the heavyweight champion from 1937 to 1949. He's like, hey, dog, you ever been to a Joe Louis fight? He died in 1981, for God's sakes. Hey, dog, you remember that time you saw Louis fight Max Schmeling? Hey, dog, did you ever see Babe Ruth play baseball? Do you remember Babe? Were you there that day that Mickey Mantle took over for Joe DiMaggio in center field? Come on, dog, you loved Red Grange, didn't you, with the Chicago Bears? Remember when Jim Thorpe won that gold medal? My dog, what was it like to see Jesse Owens run in the Olympics?
God. Was Hitler really short, you know?
They're killing me here. Like, dog, what was it like to walk with the apostles? Jeez. All right, all our guests appeared on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline. Hey, dog, remember when you got your first Ford? Was that a Model A or a Model T? Did they have hard wheels then, or did they put air in the wheels back in the day? Did you used to tie your horse up at the hitching post?
You know, I'm not sure if you're still going with the bit or not, but I'd really like you to answer these questions. I mean, what was that like?
Remember when they drove that nail in the Transcontinental Railroad? Oh, God. All right. I don't even know who I had on the show today. I am old. Dave Matter was in from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. We talked about Missouri and spring ball and about the basketball tournament. Kevin Rogers from VegasInsider.com joined us as well. Jerry Palm joined us from CBSSports.com, the bracketologist. James Smitty Smith, we had a ball with him from InThisCornerTV.com. And Brian Matthews did not make it in, but everybody else did make it in. And they all made it in to the Woody Anderson Ford Rapid Rewind. Remember T-Mac used to be able to play the Rapid Rewind? What happened to your Rapid Rewind, T-Mac?
It should be playing right now. It's playing in my ears, but it's not going over the air.
Uh-oh. Dog, you remember when T-Mac used to know how to work the board?
Hey, big dog, I got you right now. T-Mac, relearn the board. Here you go. There we go.
I'm not hearing anything. T-Mac's like. When he was in Knoxville, and great stuff from him. I mean, his Rommel speech is one of the all-time greats. I keep that on my soundboard here somewhere. I don't know where it is now, but that Rommel speech, I don't know if you've heard it, but it is fantastic.
Yeah, he's a colorful guy, and, Missouri had Josh Heupel as the offensive coordinator the last 2 years. A guy had a lot of success. Wasn't the most entertaining guy to cover, so this is like a breath of fresh air as far as just the media side of things.
Yeah. You know, Dave Matter with us from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Drew Locke, man, I mean, the guy's a senior. He's 6'4", 225 pounds. We're over here always talking now about Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Hurts and which one, and they're both great and all of that good stuff. And, of course, you know, it's – you know, throughout Jared Stidham over at Auburn, and we're looking at the, you know, the freshman over at Georgia, and we kind of forget about Drew Locke. I mean, Drew Locke might be the best quarterback in this SEC, no?
Yeah, I mean, he was the first team All-SEC quarterback last year. You know, he set the conference record for passing touchdowns. You know, I think some of that, some of those numbers, and he threw for 44 touchdowns in 13 games, and I think some of that people might subscribe, you know, say that, well, that's just a product of the system of throwing the ball all the time. But Missouri did run the ball a lot last year and actually ran it more than they threw it. Some of it was maybe a product of Heupel's offense, but now he's going to be in a system, and this is really what Locke wanted, is a more, not necessarily pro-style, but something that's going to help him bridge the gap to the NFL. And that's what Derek Dooley wants to bring, more flexibility, not the Heupel air raid, Mike Leach, you know, type offense that they ran the last few years. So we'll see if Drew can match that. You know, he still has to play better against the best defenses in the league, which he did a little bit better of last year, but still he struggled in that Auburn game. He wasn't at his best when they played Texas in the bowl game. Texas was missing a couple good players in that game. So, you know, they're really fortunate to have him back. Not many teams in the country, you know, have a four-year starter back at quarterback like Missouri does, so that they see it as a real luxury.
All right, where are the battles on this roster going in here now in this spring? What are they trying to figure out there?
You know, they're offensively they're pretty set except for wide receiver, where they lost Jamon Moore, first round or a first team All SEC guy who will probably be playing in the NFL next year. They need to develop some depth there. Absolutely, that's a huge concern. Defensively, they've got a ton of defensive tackles. They're really short at defensive end, so they have to sort some things out there. And then in the secondary, they've got guys back there, guys who have played. They don't have all SEC-type guys, so they have to develop some of the talent back there, you know, and they might be a little bit young in some spots. But they played some young players last year. A bunch of freshmen got to see the field on defense, and, you know, I'm sure they hope that those guys can be much more consistent and productive as sophomores.
You got to tell the Alabama fans that are listening right now about Craig Kuligowski, Coach Kuhl. What kind of a guy are they getting there? He had that long run at Missouri and obviously had some great defensive linemen there, and he's going to have a full cupboard of talent to play with at Alabama. But just what kind of a guy is this guy?
He's no nonsense. I mean, he is going to at Missouri, what he was really good at doing was they would recruit some athletes at defense on the defensive line, and he would develop them into great, great college players. Guys that came in unheralded for the most part, you know, 2-3-star guys who left very often as first round NFL draft picks or second round NFL draft picks, first team all SEC guys. And a lot of it was his teaching. These guys swear by him. I mean, you talk about Shane Ray in the NFL or Sheldon Richardson, Coney Ealy, who has played in the Super Bowl. The list is, it goes on and on. Marcus Golden with the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, he took guys that were linebackers, moved them to defensive end, and turned them to NFL players. He took you know, guys that were undersized defensive tackles and turned them into just monsters. So you now put him at a place where they're signing 4- and 5-star guys every year. It'll be pretty interesting to see what he can do with them with that kind of talent.
I'm just going to tell you right now, 20 out of 26 winners is going to take care of you a little bit on guaranteed plays. What a guaranteed play is if you don't win, you don't pay. He's got one up there for tonight that you can check out at VegasInsider.com. He joins us now on the Woody Anderson Ford VIP hotline. K-Raj, what are you doing, man?
Well, you could thank Damian Lillard for my win last night because the Blazers were down 11 with about 5.5 minutes left and came back and won that game against the Lakers. So that one was a little dicey for a bit. But look, man, I've told you this for years. You should be selective. You know, you don't go crazy. You should be selective. Try to find the spots. Like last night with the Blazers, you know, they've had success with the Lakers over the years. Lakers are coming off a really good road trip. But Portland's been playing well. So decided to ride them. You know, tonight, I don't know about them against the Knicks, but I don't really want to back a Knicks team that's been awful recently. So that is not my guaranteed play, by the way. But, yeah, it's just simple as that. Just pick your spots, you know, and you could be all right.
Your guaranteed play is on the Pelicans game tonight against the Clippers. You don't have to give us what the pick is, but I'll say this. Very quietly, the Pelicans are playing some pretty good basketball. The problem is they're the Pelicans, you know what I mean? And all I've been calling for is get Anthony Davis out of there. Please, NBA, intervene, do something. Get Anthony Davis someplace where somebody will pay attention to him. But they're kind of playing pretty good basketball right now.
Well, what's interesting about them is they picked up DeMarcus Cousins last year to kind of be that second guy along with DeMarcus or with alongside Anthony Davis, two Kentucky guys. And DeMarcus ripped up his Achilles tendon against the Rockets last month, and everyone thought that was it for the Pelicans, and they've won eight straight now, and now granted three of those wins were in overtime. They keep finding ways to win. They had a really nice victory at San Antonio last week coming off of they were down in that game, and the Spurs have been struggling, but the Pelicans, I couldn't believe when I looked at it this morning, that right now they're tied for fourth. I think the percentage points ahead of the Spurs for fourth in the Western Conference, which is unbelievable that they've made this run inside the West, and they just keep finding ways to win. Drew Holiday's a really nice guard, and Rondo was a good pickup in the offseason. It's just a guy that can run the point, and they're doing enough right now. I don't really know how far they're going to go in the playoffs, but, you know, obviously Anthony Davis is just a monster out there. And what I didn't think he had at Kentucky, I thought he was just – like another Nerlens Noel, just block shots, got rebounds. This guy can shoot the ball. He really can. I mean, he's so talented offensively. I mean, it's not, I don't care how big you are, whatever it is. I mean, you mentioned Shaq before. Shaq wasn't scoring 45 and 13, you know, like this guy Anthony Davis is doing. I mean, he's scoring all over the place, and he's an amazing player.
Yeah, well, remember, this kid was a guard in high school, and he had that big growth spurt. There was always that story about it. Like when Kentucky was recruiting him, he was like 6'3 or 6'4, and he showed up and he was 6'10, you know, and he still, though, had those skills of a guard. That's what makes him kind of a unicorn.
Yeah, he's a great player, and unfortunately, you know, he probably wouldn't be the MVP, you know, behind what James Harden has done this year in Houston. You know, obviously Steph Curry, what LeBron's doing. But, yeah, he's in New Orleans. But you know what, Tom? I don't
get him
know.
Out of there. Like, got to get him out
love,
of there.
But you know what? No, because I don't love Durant and Curry and all those guys together in Golden State. We don't need to stack more of these teams, all right? I mean, what, but Anthony Davis and the Knicks, is that helping the league?
That helps me. That would help me a lot. I'm a Knicks
fan. I mean,
fan.
You put him and Porzingis together, you know, it'd be kind of fun.
Yes, it would be fun. It would be wonderful, and we need that in the East Coast. We need, you know, we need the big teams in the big cities to have the big players, and I feel for the guy because he's kind of stuck down there in New Orleans, and I don't think anybody's paying attention to just how good he's being. We've had a history of this. I mean, Lew Cinder left the Milwaukee Bucks 100 years ago to go to Lakers and become Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Shaq left Orlando, left Disney World to go to the Lakers. I mean, you know, we have that in the past, and we'll always have that, I think, in the NBA.
Yeah, but also, when you look at those, you know, scenarios, Kareem went there where the Lakers were trying to build something. They eventually got Magic and Worthy, and we know what happened after that. And even with Shaq going out there, Kobe was still young, but when you see these other teams, they're already built up, and you're like, come on, like, Kevin Durant doesn't need to go to Golden State. You know, he could have stayed in Oklahoma City. But even to get, you know, you look in that Western Conference, and Oklahoma City's been so up and down this year, it feels like. They have a huge game with Houston tonight. That Russell Westbrook and the Thunder, they've still been very competitive. And, you know, if they could stay healthy, Carmelo's been up and down a bit, and so has Paul George, it feels like, at times. But if the Thunder can find a way to, you know, stay healthy just like every other team, then maybe they can reach the second round. It just feels like you're getting Rockets, Warriors in the conference finals. I really don't know who could knock either of those two teams off in the first two rounds.
If they are able to get a victory against Auburn, right, so they pick up a win against A&M and Auburn, right, does that, in your mind, what's the ceiling for them if that's as far as they go? I mean, are they in the play-in games? Or I hate to call them play. Are they in the first four?
It depends on what other teams do. They're not even guaranteed in at that point.
Right.
I mean, there's no lock. The only lock for Alabama is win the SEC tournament. That's the only lock.
Right, right. now you've got Tennessee and Auburn as three seeds right now. Is there anything that they can do to screw that up? I mean, we know that in these tournaments, you know, what can they? How far can they fall if they were to get knocked off on Friday? You know, say Auburn got knocked off by Alabama, the other side of that game. What happens to Auburn?
Well, it depends on what other teams do. I mean, the thing you have to remember is there's you look at the at-large pool, eight teams probably at the most are going to win their final game, and everybody else is going to lose. So it really depends on who you lose to, what happened, what the other teams around you were doing. You know, Auburn could lose to Alabama and not move, or they could lose to Alabama and drop two spots. I mean, it just really depends on what other teams are doing because seeding is relative. But it's also, I mean, you have to keep in mind, it's one game out of about 35.
Right.
So unless you take a bad loss or do something that changes, you know, something that's, you know, materially positive about your profile and makes it a negative, you're probably not doing too much damage.
You know, and that's an interesting point, too, because you don't know, again, it's a lot of it's based on what everybody else is doing. Let's say Auburn goes on a rampage, you know, because they got snubbed so badly by the SEC coaches and maybe the AP. Let's say they win that tournament. Can they get back to the two line based on what happens with others?
Yeah. I mean, that's the ceiling, I think, for them is the two. I don't think they can get to a one.
No.
But, yeah, a two is a possibility for them, sure.
Yeah, and I don't know how much that matters either, being on the two line or the one line. Same thing probably for Tennessee. Who's more dangerous to you in this tournament, Florida or Kentucky? Because everybody was talking about Kentucky, and then Florida whacked them, and you got them as a seven seed, the Gators, and Kentucky as a five seed. And I think Florida's a team to beat possibly in that tournament.
Maybe. I mean, they've had a good week and a half. You know, the problem with Florida, like most of the teams in the middle of this league, is that they're just not consistent. You know, they won three in a row, but they lost, what, three in a row before that? You know, just you don't know what you're going to get from Florida, probably more than anybody. You don't know what you're going to get. Sometimes they look like the top 10 team that they were predicted to be in the preseason, and sometimes they don't even look like a top 10 SEC team, and that might be the same week. So you just Florida has got the most schizophrenic resume I have ever seen in all the time I've been doing this, and that is that they've got like nine quadrant one wins and something like seven quadrant two losses, and most of them are at home. So I can't figure out Florida.
Well, they ended the season like the team we thought they were going to be at the beginning of the season. So I don't know how much that plays. And all right, finally, you got Villanova, Xavier, you got Virginia, you got Kansas. How spongy are any of those? Which one is teetering, or do you feel like after these tournaments, barring getting dumped in the first round, that those will be your four ones?
Well, I think Duke's in play as well. Duke, Kansas, Xavier for the final two spots, and the conference tournaments will have a lot to say about it. But if Xavier and Kansas win their conference tournaments, then I think Duke's the odd man out.
I don't know if you scored it. I had it 85-85 at the time of the stoppage. I thought that Ortiz had won five out of the nine rounds, and I gave Wilder a 10-8 round in the fifth when the only thing that really saves Ortiz is the bell there. I think if that round has 30 seconds more in it, that fight ends in the fifth round. But, you know, Deontay bothered me a little bit. I thought he was wild. I thought he was, you know, tentative. And I thought he was too light at 214 pounds as well. And I know he was fighting some illness and so on in training. But what was your take on it? Where did the fight stand in your mind when it ended?
Yeah, you did a pretty good job there. In fact, those first you know, four letters of his last name, Wilder, the wild part, really describes how he is. He's not a brilliant technician, but having said that, that's what makes him so much fun to watch, because when he gets hurt or he hurts especially when he hurts his opponent, you can throw all technique out the window. He just goes a little bit wild and makes it interesting and a lot of fun. A street fight kind of breaks out with a little bit of skill. But I do agree with you. I would rather see him in the 220 range. You know, he's weighing what Muhammad Ali weighed, and was a much smaller guy than him. So I would like to see him around, you know, 220. Maybe he could absorb the body shots a little bit better, although he got hit with some pretty impressive ones from Ortiz, and he was able to weather the storm and still get a victory late in the fight. I haven't seen a whole lot of improvement in his technique. But I'll tell you what he does possess. That right hand of his is the most lethal weapon in all of boxing. He is the hardest one-punch guy in the sport because of that right hand. Joshua is a thudding guy, but Deontay can completely put you to sleep. He has some power in the left as well, but that right hand of his, to me, is the hardest punch in all of boxing.
Yeah, it didn't seem like he was doing much with his left and much with the jab, but is that a lot of that have to do with going against the lefty? Because that's just so weird, you know what I mean? It just every time you see a lefty and a righty going at it like that, they're kind of pawing at each other a lot, and we saw a lot of that. It brought some booze down, and, you know, this fight was alternating between being incredibly boring and incredibly exciting, you know what I mean? It went back and forth.
Yeah, I think he could. He did a pretty good job of keeping his lead leg on the outside of Ortiz's, but he could use his jab. Listen, you know, I've been in the ring with more world champions on my show in this corner than anybody in the world, for that matter. Mm-hmm. And to a man, all fighters say the jab is the most important punch. In my little brief fight career, God knows it saved me and set up a few wins. He could. When you have when you're 6'7" and you have a reach of 83, you can't throw enough jabs. He needs to use it and for everything, right, and to set up everything. He did a pretty good job of it. But if I were his trainer, if I were Mark Breland, I would tell him, possess it even more. Use it, utilize it even more to set up that bomb, that right hand.
Yeah, James Smith with us, Smitty, talking boxing. And again, he's just one of the top authorities when you want to get into this boxing game. Anthony Joshua, Joseph Parker, they'll fight on March 31st. Joshua's 20-0. Vegas has put a line out for a potential Joshua Wilder fight, and I thought Joshua would be the favorite. I'm stunned at how much he's the favorite. I mean, they're talking 2-1 favorite. He's like -225, you know, against Wilder. Does that seem a little bit rich for you, even though Wilder maybe didn't look totally under control against Ortiz?
I think that's, you know, too much. That's a fight. Listen, that's a fight that I think could go either way. I would give the slightest of edges to Joshua, who may have his work cut out for him. I just spent some time with Joseph Parker. He trains here in Vegas, and he's a pretty athletic guy, and his movement could give Joshua some problems. But to me, slight edge to Joshua if he fights Wilder now, because of his Olympic pedigree and power in both hands, big, strong guy, better technique. But if he gets hit with that right hand, all bets are out the window, despite what Las Vegas says.
There you have it. That's your rapid rewind for this, the 6th of March, 2018. T-Mac, do you even want me to take this thing out? I don't think so, right?
Okay, no, in the show.
All right, end the show? Just end the show now? I can't end the show without Skinner in there? Oh, okay, we got him in there. As long as we got some Skinner. Hey, dog, do you remember when God created light? All right, stop it already. It's enough. No, I have never been to a presidential inauguration speech either. Not Bush, not Clinton, not Lincoln. Not Washington. Thank you, Keith. That's going to do it. Hump Day is next. That's tomorrow. Listen to Cole in the morning. Have a great night, everybody.
Sports Radio. The Ump. Because we care.
As a small business owner, you're always on the go. So how can you make sure you never miss a customer's call? Grasshopper. That's right. With Grasshopper, you get all of the features of a business phone system that's affordable and incredibly easy to use directly on your cell phone. You get a toll-free or vanity phone number that's memorable and professional. Customers are forwarded to your phone and connected to your team. And you can work from anywhere using Wi-Fi calling or our desktop app. And with our mobile app, your outgoing calls and texts show up as your professional phone number. Voicemails are transcribed and sent to your email so you can determine their importance at a glance. So whether you're on the go or working from home and need to keep business calls separate, or you simply want a professional tone, Grasshopper makes it happen. Set up your account in just minutes. There are no long-term contracts, and support is 24/7. Get your calls, stay connected, thrive. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. Grasshopper.com/radio.
Come to the Humidor Pipe Shop this Friday, noon to 5, as they welcome a huge sale from Alec Bradley Cigars. This will be your big chance to fill up those humidors, because all boxes, and that's everything the humidor carries of Alec Bradley Cigars, will be 30% off a box. Come join the Alec Bradley Road Warrior Chris Carey and get some great deals. They'll be fun, too. The Alec Bradley Cigar Event, this Friday, noon to 5, at the Humidor Pipe Shop. Memorial Parkway Southwest.
For 3 days only, you'll find amazing bargains at Madison RV sell-off sale. Last month's sale was so successful, we're loaded with premium units taken in trade. Madison RV is also restocked with 2019s and will still honor factory discounts. Make an offer on the RV you want. Travel trailers, fifth wheels, motorhomes, all ready for your inspection. These premium units are marked way down. 3 days only at Madison RV. Off of 565 by the airport.
I've had this law practice well over 30 years now.
Lackey Law Firm founder and my dad, Gary Lackey.
From the beginning, it's always been about helping people in need and giving solid advice to every client. Our first job is to make sure you know your rights.
I'm Justin Lackey. One of those principles Dad always taught us was that every client is as important as another. The initial consultation is free, and if we take on your injury case, you won't pay us anything unless we recover money for you.
Like father, like son, like daughter. I'm Jennifer Lackey. Hurt in a car wreck? You owe it to yourself to visit our website. You'll see an impressive list of success stories. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be provided is greater than the quality of legal services to be performed by other attorneys.
No matter where your case is in North Alabama, we may be able to help. Visit us at thelackeylawfirm.com, L-A-C-K-E-Y.
Or reach us at 1-800-4-RIGHTS, 1-800-4-RIGHTS.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell and get instant gold status, you'll save on every fill, every day.
But you'll feel like you just won a dance-off competition that saved the world.
That's what it feels like to have gold status with the Fuel Rewards program at Shell. With gold status, you'll save 5 cents with every gallon from the first fill. Download the Fuel Rewards app, join, and start saving today. Restrictions apply. Active gold status required. Introductory offer valid for 6 months after activation. Limit 20 gallons at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for full details.
Fun new state-of-the-art indoor shooting range is coming to Huntsville. Bullet and Barrel.
Offering 19 indoor climate-controlled lanes and a fully stocked store with firearms, accessories, and clothing.
Bullet and Barrel provides professional-friendly firearms training. Great for new and experienced shooters. Become a member now at a special pre-grand opening rate. Bullet and Barrel on Lehman Ferry Road near the corner of Airport Road.
Online at bulletandbarrel.com.
Bullet and Barrel. Serious fun. Hit the road this spring in comfort and style with the RV you've always wanted from Hall's RV in Albertville. Winners of Retailer of the Year from the Alabama Retail Association. Hall's RV has just what you're looking for. The best deals on quality-built travel trailers, fifth wheels, and motorhomes of all sizes. Making every destination feel like home. 256-894-6235. Or stop by Hall's RV today. Highway 431 in Albertville. And online at hallsrvsales.com. Hall's RV. We sell fun.
You know, in business, it's all about the bottom line. And since I sit in this uncomfortable old desk chair about 12 hours a day, well, my bottom line could really use a new chair, if you know what I mean.
Staples has lots of ways to save your business money. And right now, during the Staples Chair Event, you can save up to 50% on a full selection of office and desk chairs.
That really helps my bottom line in more ways than one.
Work comfortably for less. The office chair event at Staples. Better chair equals better workday. Ends 3/10/18.
Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. Not 10 days, not 15 days, but a full 30-day supply free when you text the word LIKE to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text LIKE to 7979.
WUMP Madison, W28OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The Off.